Well, hello there, Piss Freaks. Tom Takara here with another episode of Stand By Your Band. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Me and Tommy have our live show at Caroline's on Broadway, January 25th at 9:30 p.m., so come to that. We also have some new content on our Patreon with an episode of Girls Night and some new Stand By Your Band episodes, some bonuses. We've got Views, we got Aerosmith, some fun stuff. The Fray is coming up. That's patreon.com/standbyyourband. And without further ado, enjoy the show. The year is 1979. Men start wearing V-neck shirts, and women can't contain themselves over the new triangle of skin they're seeing. Jackson 5 member Michael Jackson goes solo with his breakthrough album Off the Wall, and nothing weird ever happens after that. And in Wilmette, Illinois, Dale Lewis and Pete Wentz II, who met while campaigning for Joe Biden's senatorial run, a senatorial campaign that would spark romance between even the unluckiest in love, gave birth to their first baby boy, Peter Wentz III. In the 80s, Pete recalls riding in his father's car and hearing the song Build Me Up Buttercup, and he said, "Papa, what is this sound?" And his father said, "Peter, my boy, this is music." From that point on, Pete had the bug, and I'm not talking about a flu. In high school, despite his talent as an all-state soccer player, he kicked the ball to the curb and decided music would be his passion, though it was almost all thrown away as Pete admits that during his first year of high school, he smoked marijuana with his friends. Luckily, he quit when he noticed it affecting his grades at school. In the late 90s, Wentz got involved in Chicago's hardcore punk scene with the bands Firstborn, Birthright, Extinction, Arma Angelus, Yellow Road Priest, and Race Traitor. As Arma Angelus' heat died down, Pete wanted to transition into pop punk with bandmate Joe Troman. Troman met Patrick Stump, at that time the drummer for X-Grinding Process X, at a Borders when Stump overheard him talking about the band Neurosis and jumped in to mansplain to Troman what Neurosis was actually all about. Though Stump was a drummer, Troman convinced him to come try out for the new band as a guitarist. Wentz wanted Race Traitor bandmate Andy Hurley in the band as a drummer, and though he was at first not into it, Petey's dreams would eventually come to fruition. In spite of a clunky first show at DePaul University, Troman was motivated to keep the band going. Pete and Patrick argued over names for the band before their next show, with Pete arguing for something long-form and tongue-in-cheek. They made a list, one being a Simpsons reference for a band name, and had friends vote on the new name. During the band's next performance, Wentz started to introduce the band under the very long, quote-unquote, witty name that he came up with, and an audience member yelled out, "Fuck that, no," and then called them the Simpsons reference band name from the list. Though they didn't have a lot going on for them at the time, Wentz viewed this project as the thing that would make him a big star. After rushing some songs together in 2 days, the band felt unsatisfied with their first release, Evening Out With Your Girlfriend. After touring nonstop and going through a few members, the band signed with Fueled by Ramen Records to release their first album as part of a deal with Island Records, who was incubating them to see if their release would get them ready for major success in the next album. Sure enough, in 2003, the album Take This to Your Grave was released and momentum was building. Positive reviews at South by Southwest and some airtime at Hot Topics was getting them to 2,000 to 3,000 sales a week. Media outlets started calling them the next big thing. The boys set off to Burbank to make the follow-up album, which would be the first time Stump would create all the music and Wentz would write all the lyrics for the album. 2 weeks before the recording, the group abandoned 10 songs and wrote 8 more, including the first single, Sugar We're Going Down. Right before the album's release, the band faced trauma when Pete Wentz had an emotional breakdown and tried to overdose in a Best Buy parking lot in Chicago. This episode is brought to you by Best Buy. Best Buy, if you've got something fucked up to do, maybe do it in our parking lot after you buy the new Samsung Galaxy. Go to BestBuy.com for more details and type in promo code STANDBYYOURBAND for 15% off. Wentz said the pressure of thinking the new album was going to flop had a lot to do with his suicide attempt. From Under the Cork Tree debuted and peaked at number 9 on Billboard charts in May of 2005. Sugar We're Going Down hit number 8, and the second single, Dance Dance, was a top 10 hit as well. The album's success led to the band doing an arena tour, where 10,000 people a night were coming to see them. All of a sudden, they were on TRL, late-night talk shows, and magazine covers. With three number one albums, over 7.5 million albums sold, and the Nickelodeon Australian Kids' Choice Award for Fave Song for the song Thanks for the Memories, today we stand by Fall Out Boy. Hello there, pissheads. Welcome to another installment of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians talk to interesting people. where we have comedians come on to defend music that they like that other people shit on. They think unfairly. You decide. I'm joined by this week, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness, Tommy McNamara. I think that's going to stick.
This is the first episode in my year of generosity.
Oh, shit.
I want everyone to know, 2018, Tommy McNamara's year of generosity. Be on the lookout.
2017, back to stealing candy from babies.
Yeah, exactly.
I see you do that shit all the time, and I don't support it. Now that MoviePass exists, Tommy not only doesn't buy snacks from the theater, he stops on his way in and steals candy from a baby. The other day, I saw a baby with popcorn and a Diet Coke, and Tommy it was like his damn Christmas. You're very Grinch-like.
Yes.
You're wearing a green hat. That's Grinch-like enough.
That's true.
How you doing, Tommy? This is the first time I've seen you in 6 years.
10 days, yeah, damn. Yeah. I'm on 3 hours of sleep. I had to wake up at 5 for my flight this morning,
damn.
So I'm a little loopy.
Whoa, what time did you get in?
But I had a connecting flight.
You had a connecting from Chicago to New York.
It was tough, yeah.
That is brutal.
Stopped
was it just
in
way
Cleveland,
cheaper?
Home of Drew Carey.
That's right. Cleveland rocks.
That's
unless
what
you're
says.
Talking about going to the airport yeah. on your way to
no,
fucking
it was
New
brutal.
York. Cleveland sucks.
It does.
We'll say it. You heard it here first, folks. Cleveland sucks. Cleveland sucks. Ohio. That's the song.
Oh, yeah.
Our guest today is the wonderful Sam Ruddy.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you for taking Cleveland down a peg.
Hell yeah. It's about time.
It's about time somebody put them in their place.
When I was in Cleveland, I was walking around. This was like 3-4 years ago. I was walking around the streets of Cleveland, like the nicer part of Cleveland. I saw two different weaves on the ground,
oh,
like
wow.
clearly from fights. It seemed like it's pretty cool.
And you went because you love the Cleveland show.
That's right.
To see. You were very misled.
I was very upset. I wanted to hear a white man voice a black man.
Is it a white guy that does
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it
oh,
is.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's
wait,
a white
really?
Guy.
Wait, really? I had
yeah.
no idea.
Let me double check that. We gotta fact check
uh-oh.
That. Who
spreading
plays
lies.
Cleveland. I'm pretty sure I remember watching Family Guy, like a behind the scenes, and being like, wait, what the fuck? All right, who plays Cleveland Brown? Mike Henry, white man.
Oh, wow.
White man. Yeah, it's yeah, that's what I wanted to see. That's why I traveled to Cleveland. Let's talk about our New Year's real fast. How was your New Year's there, Mac Man?
Good. I was over at the Comedy Attic. It was
ooh.
Wonderful. Great shows. Great time.
Hell yeah.
Just
we missed
right.
each other by like 2 days.
I know.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I was there with Sean Donnelly, past guest.
Damn.
Great man.
I heard that you're one. Never mind.
What?
Never mind. I was going to say something stupid. I would have had to edit it immediately.
Oh, good. Good to know.
Yeah, yeah. Not that Sean listens. And we love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to have Sean back on to defend more than. Because he did Counting Crows. It's a good time.
Yeah,
you guys party?
Yeah, yeah. He did it too. We did a little bit. We went to the new arcade, which is called The Cade. You like
terrible
that?
Name.
Ooh.
Terrible Cade. Name. I wanted to go, and then I saw that name, and I was like, fuck this place. Cade sounds like a frat guy.
I mean, I'm the worst person in the world. I'm on here to defend Fall Out Boy. I love barcades.
Hell
I love
yeah.
them, too.
It was a great time.
So great.
Don't get me wrong. Barcades are my favorite thing. It's just The Cade.
The Cade's pretty brutal.
Ugh.
The Cade sounds like a nickname that a kid who was born in 2008 gave himself.
Yeah.
Oh, his name's Caden. His
name's Cade.
But they had Super Smash Brothers. I won 5 games in a row against different people.
People kept
calling me the ringer. It was actually the best moment of my life.
That's insane.
By like, the ringer, so they meant the
Johnny Knoxville.
The handicapped guy.
The ringers over there playing 9-year-olds. And
oh, come on. So far, our 2 references have been Cleveland Show and The Ringer.
This is coming at you from 2008. Yeah. I mean, this fits. We're talking about Fallout Boy today. Sam, how was your New Year's?
It was fun. I did shows right outside of Penn State.
Ooh.
Yeah, I thought they were at Penn State. I didn't really read the fine print, actually, in the town of State College.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
But it was fun. It was fun. No, the shows were dope. The shows were super fun. It was like packed every time. They were all ages shows. I didn't know that. And it might be because I didn't check my email, but I didn't know that till like 2 days before.
Fuck. So was it clean, like total clean?
Like so clean that I said pull out in one joke.
Oh no.
And there was gasps.
Wow.
I have like a couple weed jokes in my act, and I told a couple marijuana jokes because that's clean, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a mom who complained.
Oh, wow.
She was like, she was so mad. She didn't complain to me because
how it always happens.
Yeah, I ran off stage. Uh-huh. And she went over to the producer and she was like, I have a joke objection. Which is
a joke objection?
Oh
my god!
Oh god, old joke Judy over here.
I was like, okay, let's. I'll allow it.
That's so funny.
She told the producer that weed is a gateway drug, and that it's not cool to joke about it.
Oh my god!
And then she apparently felt that she was not heard.
Yeah.
So she called.
Who'd she call?
She called the producer's office.
Damn.
So she went like 2 levels above.
She went above the producer to like his company
That's
or whatever.
Bullshit.
And she called them and she was like, I am so upset about this show. Just because of weed.
Wow.
She was like, it was billed as family friendly. And there was marijuana jokes. It's not family friendly. And I know it's not family friendly because I have a daughter who is addicted to marijuana.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So she called and was like, my daughter's addicted to marijuana. And like the producer's not an idiot. So he was like, hey, you know, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm really terrible. Like, that's terrible. Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, is your daughter upset? Is she okay? And she's like, well, I mean, she's not there. She wasn't at the show, but she could have.
She was at the Grateful Dead concert on the road.
Fish was actually playing across town.
She's at Madison Square Garden.
My daughter's not here. She's actually watching videos on YouTube entitled So Trippy. See how long you can watch.
It's funny that you say that. I have a friend who's addicted to pulling out named Tommy McNamara.
They call him the pullout princess.
Wait.
The pullout princess?
Wait a second.
Pull out princess of incest. Old Tommy.
Okay, while we're in the making up fetishes and shaming me for them.
Whoa,
section
no one said
of the
it was a fetish.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you put those words out there.
Okay, we got to talk about, since we're talking about Fall Out Boy, every band that we do, I basically end up Googling that band plus piss just to see
why.
Just to see if there is something.
You just want to talk about piss.
Yeah,
and I found out
piss freak.
That Pete Wentz played a little game called Piss Roulette.
Now, what could that even mean?
If you had to guess what Piss Roulette is, what would you guess?
All right, 6 guys. One of them has drank a shit ton of water. 5 of them haven't. You pick one, have him pee on you, and it's like Russian roulette, and then you have a 1 out of 6 chance of it actually happening.
Wait.
No, but that's a really good idea.
That's a very good, wait, what?
I mean, yeah.
That's not where I thought that was going to go.
That's twisted.
That is so convoluted, I feel like. Because you can pee without drinking a bunch of water. I would think... Maybe, all right, I got
Listen,
it.
Listen, you asked
so
for
I
first
say,
thing.
All right,
this
I,
is
I
what
I
the shape of
these...
water is about, by the way.
I say we bring those 6 guys back, same 6 guys, and 5 of them drink a bunch of water, one guy eats a bunch of asparagus and then pees all over
Tommy.
So
everyone's pissing on everyone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you just okay.
You hope that you don't get the guy with the asparagus.
Okay, I'm gonna read the article.
Or maybe you're really into that and you hope that you do.
There you go. That could be. Tommy, what do you think, you sick fuck?
I don't know. Okay, so this is from Politico. Okay, last week, Kelly Clarkson confessed that she likes to pee in the shower and said that anybody who says they don't is lying. This sparked intense debate amongst commenters who had opinions ranging from agreeing with Kelly to saying it was gross to saying it was fine. Pete Wentz apparently agrees with the people who claim urine is sterile and drinkable. Pete made a video he posted on YouTube in which he's seen drinking his own pee. In the video, Pete says that the band are playing Pee Roulette, a game developed out of boredom, where they have 10 bottles of juice on stage and one bottle of pee. Pete will drink from all the randomly ordered bottles until he gets to the pee.
Oh, my God.
That's not roulette.
That's you drink no. all of them.
You just like drinking piss, bro.
That's like if a guy playing Russian roulette, and he's like, no, I'll just keep shooting until I get to the one with the bullet.
Pete plans to drink from the bottles between songs because, in quotes, last time I did that, I barfed.
What is this? Is this Tiger Beat? This is Politico?
I was joking when I said it was Politico. Okay. It didn't land.
Like, wow, they've really pivoted in the past few
last
years.
Last time I did that, I barfed, and we wrote the song Uma Thurman.
So, yeah, I just wanted to establish that right up top to say there's three reasons I love this band.
Oh, shit.
One, the guy drinks piss. Two, they are from my hometown, Wilmette, Illinois. The greatest town in America.
But Wilmette?
Greatest town in America. Celebrities from there include Pete Wentz, Bill Murray, me, Rahm Emanuel,
ooh,
Rainn Wilson.
Damn.
That's all I can
Rahm
do.
Whoa, you're
Joel
from
Murray.
Rainn Wilson, huh? Old Dwight Schrute.
Yes.
You guys kind of have the same vibe. You guys are similar. You're like creeps. Fucking weirdos. You're a creep. You're a weirdo.
You know what's
your radio head dream.
I don't belong here. They met, members of Fall Out Boy met in the Borders right by my high school that I used to hang out at.
Is that right?
You know anyone used to just hang out at, like, stores?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think we've talked about this. We must have covered this on it. I used to just hang out at Walmart.
Yeah,
it was sick. You just walk around, look at stuff. Look at this stuff. You believe they made this?
This idea.
You just throw around a football inside a Walmart. Those are the days.
I was a Borders gal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I can't believe it closed.
Oh, man. My brother can't freaking believe it closed. My brother had, like, a job at Borders.
Ooh.
And, like, he kept getting promoted. And so instead of going to college, he was like, I'm just going to keep working at Borders.
Oh, my God.
How many, like, levels are there at Borders?
Well, enough to trick an 18-year-old.
Well, eventually you become an author. If you stay there long enough, you get to start writing the books.
And then the final one is you work at the Starbucks inside. You go from author to barista.
Wait, so was he there until the end?
Yeah, he was.
He
really
went down
put
with
all
the
his eggs. He
the
put
Titanic?
All his eggs in that Borders
the
basket.
All burning around him.
He actually, as they were bulldozing the Borders, he stayed in it as a captain does.
You don't have to be in here. And also, why is this place on fire? Oh, man. That's so did you ever run into Fall Out Boy around town?
I did not. One of my good friends is cousins with Pete Wentz.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. So that is the second
Skeet
reason.
Wentz, huh?
Like that. Wait, what?
His name's Skeet, I assume.
Third reason. They're really cool.
Oh, you think they're cool?
No, I'm like, I am so biased with this one. I'm
Me
like,
too. No, I think that's what somebody comments
I'm
on
I'm not
going
to be objective at all on this.
It's very hard to be. I'm going to try to be an objective voice. This is the first time we've done this where we actually have done an episode on Fall Out Boy, but it's before we started the podcast. It's before you were part of the team, before you got your what do you call it? Your week to week co-hosting job.
Before my year of generosity.
yeah. We did a me and Alex Stone recorded what is now a bonus episode on our Patreon, and it was very fun. And but this is going to be a different vibe. I'm going to try to come in hard on Fall Out Boy, but it's tough. I mean, I loved Fall Out Boy growing up. Like I got the CD when I was probably 17. Maybe
which
18.
One?
I got a
Cork Tree.
Under the Cork Tree. Yeah, yeah. I didn't get into them until then, and then I went back and got into what the fuck's the first one called? Take This to Your Grave. I'm all over the place right now.
I mean, it's not the first one, but
well, but they the consider it major... the first one. Mm. They hate the other one.
Mm-hmm. It's not great.
It's I actually really liked it, but because it's like very low production,
it's like raw. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like you know, and I was like obsessed with them when I was like younger, and that's all there was. Like I was into Take This to Your Grave, like before they kind of blew up because of From Under the Cork Tree.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I remember just trying to find anything else they had, like for just sure. So I could listen to it, and that was all that was there.
Well, then Called Before the Storm is on it, which is
yes.
weird. Like just
which,
like kind
a
of
a song.
Oh, it's a great song, but yeah, it's just like a much lower quality
yeah,
cut of it. Yeah,
you
yeah.
can tell that like Fueled by Ramen was like okay, this is trash, but that song is actually pretty.
Yeah,
good.
For sure.
Sorry, I'm reading about this Borders thing now. I'm sorry.
But the closure?
There was more information about the Borders meeting than I thought there would be.
There's so much information online about their Borders meeting. It's
have you, did you
sick.
Guys watch there's a Drunk History that the guy from Panic at the Disco did about Fall Out Boy?
No.
Really? No.
I don't know if it was with permission from Drunk History, but yeah, yeah, it's fun.
Well, yeah, check that out. It's a good time. This was, they were the first concert I went to.
Ooh.
First concert was Fall Out Boy. I was, I'm going to say, hugely disappointed in them.
Wait.
Yeah. I was watching from, like, a field. Like, it was such a big venue.
And it was an indoor show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was looking through a field. I was looking through a window. I was a pauper.
Disappointed.
I was a pauper boy.
Please, sir, can I have some riffs?
Please, sir, may I be fueled by ramen? yeah, I my first like serious girl. This is crazy actually. So the first date I ever went on was at a Borders, and then my first concert was Fall Out Boy.
Wait, it's for real? All,
yeah, yeah.
Oh wow!
And that was with a girl who was my first actual like my first real girlfriend. She was like, "I'm going to the show. You should come." And I was like, "I want to go to that." They were like one of my favorite bands. Oh. I just never thought to go see them. I didn't realize they were playing indie, but tickets were like $30. It was crazy because yeah. they were already. It was upon. It was when Infinity on High came out, and I was like, not as into that.
I still like Infinity on High.
There's a
really,
lot of
really like it.
There's a lot I like from it, and you put at least one song on there.
Yeah, I know.
That.
I have a couple.
Thriller,
actually.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
Thriller, which I think is one of my
and,
favorite album intros.
Young. That's Jay-Z, right?
That's Jay-Z. Yeah.
Can we talk about how it's insane that Jay-Z like doesn't take any rep hit for doing songs with like Coldplay and Linkin Park?
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
It's so funny because you couldn't like that's so uncool.
It is very.
Can
bizarre.
You imagine if Macklemore entered a Fall Out Boy song?
God.
Like he'd be done.
I could kind of yeah. see that, but like somebody because Jay-Z is so much cooler than Macklemore though. Like
well,
he
sure.
still gets street credit. It'd be like if Kendrick Lamar was like. This the new Linkin Park, baby. Kung Fu Kenny. Yeah.
I know you like 21 Pilots.
Oh shit. Yeah, it sucks. Let's listen to a little bit of a little bit of Thriller.
That drop though. Bragging about 3 out of 5s.
I think that one thing that I feel very biased on, and this is like, this has to make or break Fallout Boy for you a little bit. I love Patrick Stump's voice.
Same.
I did too.
I think
yeah.
It's everything. Fun. Yeah, it's like such a good, like, emo-y type, but also, I don't find them to be as punky later on, especially. Like, that. I don't think that.
Yeah.
Of them at all as punk later yeah. on. But in the beginning, they were trying to sound like that, it seemed like.
Well, sure. Yeah, they all kind of came from Chicago's punk scene.
Sure. But, yeah.
And this, if there are any people listening who are actually familiar with the Chicago late 90s hardcore and punk scene, please don't expect us to know it. Because I feel like people are always like, well, everyone knows that. I mean, even in Jared's voicemail,
yeah,
it's like.
Jared's going to be mad.
Well, you know.
We should go ahead and talk about Jared's voicemail. I'm going to play it right now.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Fallout Boy. This is pretty open and shut. The person, whoever the guest is going to be in their mid-20s, probably 25, 26, 27, somewhere in there, who in 7th or 8th grade listened to Fallout Boy and know the songs from back then, but still listen to them for nostalgic reasons, pretty much cut and dry the way that this podcast was set up. Now I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking about a Fallout Boy story that I have, which is that the drummer of Fallout Boy was also in a 90s hardcore band called Race Traitor, and a hardcore festival that I helped put on in Greenville, North Carolina. We had Race Traitor at the festival twice, and they were probably the most polarizing hardcore band, or certainly in the top, you know, couple with Earth Crisis and a few other bands of the 90s, and they really only ever released, I think, one thing. But they were, they split their audience right down the middle, you know, people who believed in their politics and people that didn't. I just found out by doing research about this that Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy was also a sometime member of Race Traitor, which is crazy considering he's sort of like the star of Fall Out Boy from what I can gather. I think I've only ever heard Fall Out Boy because they did a song on Big Hero 6. I don't think I've ever heard them in any other scenario. I listened to them a little bit tonight and it sucks, of course. It's just, you know, no reason to listen to it. But I will say that it's disappointing to read that they have sort of come out and said, we're not a political band, like we don't care about politics. And I mean, I'm sure that they have, like, we're all sort of like, you know, we have to be more political with Trump in office, but it's disappointing to know that at least one, if not a couple of the members, like, know what, you know, like, what is going on in the real world, and they're just sort of ignoring it. That's upsetting, I would say. You know, they have, you know, an outlet to really help and change minds, and if they're not doing that, that kind of sucks. So, all right, bye.
All right, that was Jared Thompson, the owner of the beautiful Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, friend and foe of the podcast.
Had a great weekend with Jared Bear.
The old
Geraldo.
He loves
when I call him that.
Yeah, I think that Jared made some good points in there. I think the political thing is interesting because I'm doing some research on it right now, and they have done that thing in the past where they're like, we try to keep it nonpartisan to like not fuck with their fan base or whatever. Not that I feel like a lot of Repubs wouldn't be pro Fallout Boy.
You'd be surprised.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
because a lot of Repubs were like angry children.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they were a lot. I could see Linkin Park fans being conservative, just angry. But some of these, I feel like a lot of their music wasn't angry, though. It was, like, silly.
So angry.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, just to prepare for, like, this podcast, just because, like, you know, I still like them, and if it pops up on my iPod, like, I listen to it. Not that I have an iPod. I don't live in 2009, but...
I have an iPod around here somewhere.
Really?
I have an iPod video downstairs.
Nice.
Hell yeah. You guys want to see my iPod video? I keep in the basement.
They're never heard from again.
You kids like iPod videos?
I did find they asked Pete Wentz about who he thought was going to win the election, and he said, first of all, there's three words that he answers with is very annoying. He goes, "I'm a futurist.
Oh God,
I have a belief that we as a society and a culture are going to make a decision based on who's the most qualified. I don't think as a nation we're going to elect somebody who is a reality TV star." So that's taken aside.
I'm a futurist.
That's weird.
I like Futurama.
We have We have a quote from Tommy McNamara about who he thought was going to win the election, and it just says, lock her up.
I'm a futurist sounds like something that someone who votes for Jill Stein would say.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Listen, I don't care about Democrats or Republicans. I'm a futurist.
I'm writing in Bono.
Music's too girly. Get him in there. He'll fix it.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on here. So, were you angry when you were listening to Fall Out Boy as a kid?
For sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I get that.
A lot of angst, you know? Mm-hmm. I think I like... Well, not at first. I mean, I heard, like, Where's Your Boy Tonight?
Yeah.
When I was, like, 12 on Fuse. I was just watching music videos, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Great, yeah.
I was like, this is so catchy and so good.
Uh-huh.
And so I just immediately went out and bought their album. And the album, like, that song is, like, pretty tame for their first album as far as, like,
sure.
the vitriol for women and, like, all the, like, just
yeah,
anger
there's
they
a lot
have.
Of lines.
Well, don't forget Irish people.
Yeah.
What's that?
The first song title, Tell That Mick.
Very offensive.
Come on.
To the Irish. Well, and also that song it could essentially be summed up with, like, I hope you crash your car, whore.
Yeah. It's a lot of that.
The one that I remember having a visceral reaction to, but also I remember being an angry kid and kind of being like, oh, this is dark, is Wear Me Around Your Neck. What is the... Oh, fuck. You Look So Good in Blue. Were you talking about choking someone?
Yeah.
Fuck. So, I mean, like, I'll knock it around me, I'll throw it out. I'll weigh you down,
I'll watch
you
choke.
I'll watch you choke. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
You look so good in blue.
You look so good in blue, so
that's
creepy.
A lot of graphic imagery.
I remember as a kid being like, that's deep.
I did like the wordplay on all of it.
It is clever. Yeah. Like, even when, like, as a 25-year-old woman with, like, relatively feminist opinions, I can still listen to it and be like, well, it's pretty clever.
Yeah.
Like,
I will say, looking back at these song titles, sometimes I'll do this where when I first put out Alex's bonus episode, it made me want to go back and listen to everything I liked from them before, and it almost all held up for me. Like, it's, I mean, I understand that it's a nostalgia thing somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is fun. Like, in a lot of the, the thing is, like, people shit on Pete Wentz as a bassist, but it is fun. His bass is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the drumming is, like, I have a good time with it.
Out of everything that Pete Wentz does, I would say that bass, like, just his bass riffs are, like, very good.
Uh-huh.
But I also think that Patrick Stump composes most of the music.
Yeah.
And I feel like he may be writing Pete's bass lick. So, Pete, if you are listening,
get fucked.
You know, straighten it out with us, you know, give us a call.
Yeah, tell us the truth.
We want to hear, because I don't want to be spreading misinformation. If you are writing those sick dance bass riffs, all credit where credit is due.
Email us at standbyyourbandpod@gmail.com or piss on us at pisser.
We have a feeling you'd pisser. Like that.
Pete, donate to our Patreon if you want to be on.
I mean, I have a hard time.
I don't know. I'm sorry. They were there. Fuck you. Yeah. I'll give you the 30 cents. Piece of shit. I was fondling Tommy's tissue.
That sounds worse than that.
That sounds awful. Yeah. He had, like, a pack of Kleenex.
Mm-hmm. Tissue is worse than Kleenex.
Tissues. I think it's worse. I mean,
yeah.
I have a hard time defending Tommy. I also
what the hell?
I have a hard time defending Pete as a human. I think he could be really clever and really funny, but he is everything about Fall Out Boy that is mockable is Pete.
Yes.
You know, like, Patrick Stump is, like, a brilliant lyricist, a great composer, and he lays low. Like, he doesn't care about them. He doesn't want to get attention. Like,
sure.
I mean, I feel like if in every argument that Fall Out Boy had, Patrick Stump won instead of Pete, they'd probably be a better band, but they wouldn't be famous.
I'm curious because Pete came up, or I mean, Patrick released some solo stuff that was kind of panned. And then he wrote an article that I thought was really interesting in regards to this podcast specifically, where he wrote like a think piece anti people shitting on Nickelback.
Oh,
that
okay.
I sent to Tommy. I want to see if it's in my messages here.
I will
he's got to feel like he's next, you know?
I'm sure that this was just stop shitting on us.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Is their punchline the same way?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. Stop shitting on my friend.
Yeah.
I think, though, there is an element of him doing kind of a soul singing voice is a little bit of a white guy being Cleveland. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is something we like on this show. Yeah,
I didn't know we established that.
Yeah.
Stand by your band. Pro-cultural appropriation. I don't think that his singing rises to the level of a white guy voice in Cleveland. But
sure.
Part of that might have been said for humor.
Oh.
Joke objection. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I have a joke objection. I have to say.
I'm so excited for that. I have a joke objection.
I have a joke objection. Hey, Tommy, I'm so sorry I missed that social cue. Sometimes, you know, I just whoosh right by me.
I always liked Patrick Stump more than I liked Wentz. I think part of it was that Patrick Stump is a weird looking man.
Very weird.
And Pete Wentz is like the pretty boy of the group.
Yeah, like, but Patrick was like the prettiest, in my opinion, as like a 12-year-old girl.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's interesting.
Also, now a lesbian.
So, where do we go with that? I guess I meant like there was something about Pete Wentz's vibe. Like he seemed like he was trying to be like really. He just seemed like he was trying so hard to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was something about
him. He's a huge tryhard.
Yes.
We should play his poetry at some point.
Oh, we for sure will. Really quickly, let's read his poetry right after this. I looked up Pete Wentz is an asshole, and I found this website called meanstars.com, and he is rated a 100% mean. Somebody had a story about how they filmed a music video at Pete Wentz's bar in L.A. For his like new band, and I can't see what year this is, but anyway, Pete Wentz got wasted all day. That went up to the bartender and said this beer, he had a Corona, which was interesting. I don't know why I was intrigued to find out he was a Corona man.
That is actually baffling.
Really? Yeah. That's
that he'd be drinking a Corona? Right?
My 60-year-old dad, who's a parrot head, loves Corona.
I definitely thought he would either be
he's allowed
like
to find his beach. Let the man find his beach.
He took his Corona and he goes, this beer isn't fucking cold enough. And then he proceeded to pour an entire pint of Corona on my hands and arms. I looked at him incredulously. He shrugged and walked away. Pete Wentz poured beer on me on purpose. He's an asshole.
This guy's pretty dramatic, though.
I mean, what did he do to deserve it?
That's a good point. It's two just sides. Like that woman that they choke in the song.
It's like, was she being naggy?
Yeah, it could be. He just has a vibe that's not good. We definitely should play some of this poetry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see. So get busy living or get busy dying.
All right. So it's like at the very end of the song, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember that much. Hold on just a moment. I remember this song specifically. I loved this part.
Oh, so hard.
All right. So that's
perfect.
Oh, my God. I talked about getting out, but not forgetting about how all my worst fears are letting out. He said, why put a new address on the same old loneliness when breathing just passes the time until we all just get old and die. Now talking's just a waste of breath and living's just a waste of death. And why put a new address on the same old loneliness? And this is you and me and you until we've got nothing left.
So one crazy thing we found, that's first of all, important.
important
that's
work.
Like,
Anthony Kiedis does that too in a song.
He does?
There's a song where he, on Stadium Arcadium, one of the songs, he does like a minute long poem. And That is really like the band
that
members.
Was, like,
it's really bad.
Not
to. That's
those
the
came
worst
out
part
similar
of
similar years, I think too. Was, I think that was a trend.
Right?
I think it was a trend.
Stadium Arcadium was like right after this album.
From Under the Cork
Tray,
I think.
Yeah, it was like the following year, I'm pretty sure. Because I remember it was my freshman year of college. I got into the Chili Peppers hard.
What was in the air that year?
I don't know, man, but I was in eighth grade and I fucking loved it.
if the caged bird could sing, it would do what Pete Wentz does.
If the page girl? I'm thinking about Danny California. And then my mouth got ahead of my brain.
Man, yeah, that is that's brutal.
But there's actually, I was on the web and I was searching, kind of like trying to find if there's any like live version of that, like if you ever did that poem live. And there's not a live one, but there's a studio one that's extended. I guess they edited it.
Oh.
And I found the recording. So could you just find if you play it on your phone?
Yeah,
I sent it to you.
I'll play it real fast.
All right, just let me know when you clicked it.
Hold on, I'm pulling it up here. All right.
From day one, I talked about getting out, but not forgetting about how my worst fears are letting out. He said, why put a new address on the same old loneliness when breathing just passes the time until we all just get old and die? Now talking's just a waste of breath, and living's just a waste of death, and Stelling's just a waste of Beth, and Jason Schwartzman's bored to death, and crying's just a waste of tears, but vodka's just a waste of beers. But I digress to the same old loneliness, except it's Ness from Super Smash Brothers, who is lonely like all the others. Now Link is just a waste of sword, and Star Fox sits there sad and bored, and Pikachu's lightning is gone, and Kirby sucked so much it's wrong, Jigglepuff sleeps in a grave, and Mario's Luigi's slave, and Donkey Kong's a barrel slut, while Yoshi puts eggs in his butt. Samus Falcon, say the word. One's a lady, one's Lady Bird. So living's just a waste of death, and Tracy's just a waste of let's. And this is me and you until there's nothing left.
Samus is a girl?
Call the crowd to pick you up. Interesting that that was so Super Smash Brothers related after your big streak.
I don't see how the two are connected.
It's like Pete Wentz knew Beth Stelling was going to be big.
Stelling's just a waste of Beth.
Think about it.
I think Mario's Luigi's slave is very interesting.
It's problematic.
The Italians were slaves first.
Yeah, but they're both Italians.
Think about it.
They're brothers.
They're brothers.
Oh my God.
The ultimate betrayal.
Well, that was important. I'm glad we found
Maybe
that.
Maybe play it again.
Oh man. Let's talk a little about getting shit on for Fall Out Boy. Did you get made fun of ever for liking Fall Out Boy?
No.
Did you keep a crew around? Did you keep a crew around who liked them? Did your friends like them?
Yeah, we all liked them. I went to a Catholic school and there was like 12 kids in my class.
Uh-huh.
And so whatever like 3 of us liked was the thing.
Yeah.
So like 4 mm-hmm. of us like Fall Out Boy, and so everyone else was just like, "All right, we like Fall Out Boy."
Mhm.
You know, it's interesting. There were 12 kids in the original Catholic class, the apostles.
Oh, my God. I never thought about that. 12
angry men.
Yes, me. Wow. Damn.
That's what I call them.
That's what I call them. Shit. They actually seem like they're pretty happy.
I don't understand the Bible.
They went fishing a lot. They had like those smiley face stickers on the back of their cars. Life is good.
Yeah, they were just like basic as hell.
They're just so basic. They're all parrot heads.
I've only seen the sequel, Grumpier Old Men.
There's one thing before I forget, I do want to say that I was looking at a list of things you don't know about Fall Out Boy. And they're all like kind of things you would know, you know. But
the bassist name is Pete.
Yeah, it's always shit like that. Except one of them is Joe Troman once slept in a dog cage.
Oh shit!
Guitarist Troman took a little cat nap in a dog cage. The reason is kind of unknown. It's documented on that DVD. Troman explained it wasn't a night. It was like 5 minutes at the most, and they put it on a DVD. You can spin that story any way you want when it's on film, you know? I was 17. Do a lot of 17-year-olds spend time in dog cage? I think they do. I love how defensive he is.
That was clearly like... Pete Wentz made him sit in the dog cage while he was playing piss roulette.
Watch me play piss roulette.
It's actually like really fucked up.
And then he writes, "I know why the caged Joe sings."
But he doesn't sing.
Yeah, well, he plays
never
his
sings.
Guitar does.
He does like the Simpsons, I guess.
Well, I mean, the band's name is Fall Out Boy.
Sure, but Pete Wentz is pretty humorless. And did you not? Did you guys know that like Pete Wentz wanted to name the band like one of his like 80 word long song names?
Oh God!
But wow. They were like, please just let us be Fall Out Boy.
Please, sir.
I'm more of a. What's a shitty TV show? We should name it Tracy Ullman show.
There's like a weird video of them on TRL, I think, where it's like he's trying to be funny in the interview. So yeah. She asks everyone's names, and they all say their names. It gets to him, and he's like, Jason. He just says the wrong name.
Like, that's
like
the
worst that's a lie?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this what joking is?
Yeah. Yeah, like he seems like somebody who like thinks he's very funny,
totally. Yeah.
But is like...
Damn it, where's
kind
the...
of tone deaf in conversation. Although I will say, I think some of the long song names are sort of funny.
Well, it was before Twitter too, so yeah. You didn't get to see jokes like that anywhere else.
All the
now
time,
you see
yeah.
a million of them a day.
Yeah, exactly. It was at the time.
At the time,
like,
I was like,
oh,
whoa,
cool.
This is crazy.
That's pretty funny. I'm like a lawyer with the way that I'm always getting you off. That's funny. You know?
I do wonder if any of them were stolen.
Oh, for sure.
I think they stole that lawyer one from the show Bull. Is that what it's called? A dumbass show, like, he'll get you off.
Oh, yeah, Bull.
So bad.
Well, it's like a really common phrase now. But at the time, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You, like, know, you can't type it into Twitter at that time.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Oh, that's true. God.
Like, no way he came up with champagne for my real friends.
No, that had the real pain for my sham friends. I don't
buy
brilliant.
That.
That's brilliant. But I don't think they came up with it. Yeah. But when
like
I remember reading
have.
It, I remember reading it and be like, fuck.
So
deep. This shit's smart as hell.
Then you get, they kindly ask you to leave the Walmart.
Oh, shit.
Please stop swearing.
Come over here. Kids, look at the album.
Yeah, children.
He was also Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Get over here. I was trying to find, there was a great, oh, shit. Fall Out Boy's Pete Wentz on making unsexiest men list. I need to know about this.
Wow.
I'm just happy to be nominated. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
That's pretty funny.
That's actually funny.
Who else is on that list?
Oh, I wonder. Let's see. I've never heard of this list before. All right. Number one on the list is Pete Wentz.
Number one.
Number two, Tommy McNamara.
What if everyone else was like truly deformed people?
Three Stephen Hawking. That's really weird. No. Hey, I didn't write the list. Number four, the guy who played Mask. Not The Mask. That show, that movie Mask, you know what I'm talking
I'm
about.
I'm aware. Yeah,
okay.
I am. Rocky Dennis.
That's it.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, Simon Cowell, Howard Stern. Pete Doherty.
Simon Cowell, he wears those
he
tight
like
shirts.
A handsome guy. Yeah,
handsome.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
He's a little number.
He's bossy.
I mean, if they want to say, like, not hot, I don't know. Wait, Ben Stiller, Josh Hartnett? This list is bullshit.
Who
Josh
made
Hartnett
this?
Josh Hartnett is a heartthrob.
Amen.
Oh, this is the unofficial one. Okay. Did AOL make this list? That's so, what a weird thing to dabble in.
What if it's like Pete Wentz got his 10,000 hours free disc, he pops it in, and then it's the first thing he sees. Like, oh, no.
AOL kept trying to write the list, but their mom kept trying to use the phone.
There was a headline I saw that I'm trying to find now where it's like Pete Wentz jokes, but a joke is supposed to be funny. And it's like, I wanted to see what, damn it. I looked up Pete Wentz, not funny. Who has a fear of Pete Wentz? What?
It's Wentzagoria. Wentzophobia.
Yeah, this is not, I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. That's too bad.
Did you ever see him live?
Yeah, not great.
Really?
Yeah. That's the thing. The guitar didn't sound good. And like, I like, a big part of what I loved about Fall Out Boy, what I still love, is Patrick Stump singing. And, like, hearing his lyrics and stuff. And when I saw them live, you could not hear a fucking thing he was saying.
That was it. It was, like, it was honestly, really? Like, the live show, it's like Pete's, like, let me put the bass up as high as it goes. And then,
it was.
And
it
then,
was.
Yeah.
It was so
and then
distorted.
Patrick, whose voice is beautiful, cannot be heard.
Yeah. And I realized in that moment, I was like, this is what I like about them. And if I can't get that out of it, there was no point. And seeing this.
Yeah, no, I saw them once. I was I saw them at Warped Tour in 2005. I was 12 or 13, and My mom wouldn't let me go alone, so she made me go with a babysitter, which is very punk rock.
A babysitter?
Yeah,
wow.
I was like 12 or something, and she paid one of our neighbors like $50 to take me to Warped Tour.
That's so crazy. I mean, that's a sick deal if you're a babysitter.
Oh, yeah. But she hated it. She was like 23 and just like, oh,
like, you know, women.
This is all. No, it was like every shitty person she went to high school with was there, apparently. Yeah. And she was just like, why are you running around in a circle? We're in our 20s. Which at the time I was like, all right. But now I'm like, let people mosh. You know?
I think I could still have fun. You can still have fun in your 20s.
Yeah. I love that. Mosh. That's not even a question anymore. Yeah. 10 years ago, she was like, you're 23. You're an adult. Now we're like, you're 33. Maybe you should think about getting on a lease.
Yeah. Like open a savings account or something.
It would be tough, 23-year-old at Warped Tour, though, because you got those Blink-182 boys yelling at you.
What's your age again?
Exactly.
I want to know. yeah, I found the article. It wasn't what I wanted it to be. I guess that he just like made fun of Britney Spears, and then called him and Ashley Simpson, his then girlfriend, called themselves assholes.
They were married.
Oh yeah,
they had a child.
It says at this point,
maybe
girlfriend.
Two kids.
This
yeah,
was
yeah.
before.
Yeah, they have.
This
kids.
Is from a long time.
Bronx
ago.
Mowgli.
Damn, they're not still together, right?
No.
We talked about this on the Ashley Simpson episode. Yeah,
and on the Bronx Mowgli
episode. You know, yeah, the ep about their kids.
We do a Patreon called Defend Your Child.
Defend Your Child?
We should do that.
Defend Your Child would be boycotted so quickly. It would just be the most upsetting
podcast.
No,
but it's not even your
podcast.
Kid. You just pick a child.
Come on, he's
not
cute.
Not even celebrities.
Yeah.
This kid AJ, he lives 3 blocks down from me. He goes to Roosevelt Middle School. He sucks.
Stand by Tyson, the fourth grader.
We're going to look at 6 of his homework assignments. And
oh, man. That's really good. He wrote an essay on why Minecraft is actually good, better than homework. let's go to Facebook. I forgot that we haven't done that yet, and we got a lot of shit on this one. This is people are torn. People are divided on Fall Out Boy, and I think this speaks to what Jared was kind of saying. I mean, how it's what we always say is like, it really speaks to, if you liked them when you were of this age, you're
totally.
Definitely going 100%. To like, you're going to stay, you stick with them later. I will say one thing I was surprised in listening to more recent stuff than I thought. I still liked later shit than I would have thought. You know what I mean? Like, I liked stuff that I didn't like when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really find impressive about Fall Out Boy. Like, there's a reason Newfound Glory isn't on the radio anymore.
Yeah.
But if you go to a hockey
the
game,
Jews.
You're going to hear Uma Thurman. You're going to hear Centuries.
Centuries is a big one that, like, they made it the theme for the NFL for, like, a season.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Like, I didn't hate it. It's weird because it's such a departure from what they sounded like when they started. Like, they were such a, like, low quality. Like, they were, it wasn't this, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, this overproduced sound that they got to.
Oh, it's super overproduced, but it's literally arena rock.
Yeah,
they switched genres completely.
It's arena rock.
They've switched genres because they see that, like, bands like, I don't know, like, the National, like, all these bands who, like, are still rock bands and popular because, rock band is just, like, rock music has just fallen out of favor, like, a lot. And I think that they're smart and they're versatile and they're talented.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't start out as a pop punk band. They were all hardcore artists, you know? Like, they've always hopped genres and they've always kind of tried to reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
And, like, unlike a lot of other pop punk bands of that era, like, they were able to do it really successfully.
Mm-hmm. No, they did. It's really weird. They've been able to, like, stay in commercials and, like, video games. It's really odd. And I think it's all because of that genre switching. People,
that is where they lose me completely, though.
I don't love, don't get me wrong, I don't listen to the stuff after they switch genres, but when I heard some of it, when I very first heard it, I hated it. Now I go back, I've gone back and listened to some of their newer stuff since then. I don't keep going back to it, but I don't hate it. There's some stuff like Uma Thurman I don't hate, which we'll get into in a minute.
Yeah.
Thriller.
I think of, like, very specifically, Take This to Your Grave, To Fully Adieu, are the Tommy years of Fall Out Boy. Anything before it or after it falls outside the Tommy years.
Wait, what's the what
Fully I Do? And
I think of
Catch Donnie as like, that's it, you know, because they bring back all the old songs and it's like, that's it, Tommy, we did it for you.
Foley has I Don't Care on it, right?
Yes,
That's a banger, I will say.
I did not like that album. I don't like the album either. I do remember hating that album.
I like I Don't Care, though. I think that's a really good pop song.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Let's read some of these. Rudy Schultz says...
Oh, some great songs on there.
Fuck you.
Hey, Tommy, why don't you go in the basement and play with his iPod touch?
This is Rudy Schultz wrote, I hate them because they're a band formed as a joke to cash in on the popular sound of the time, and they took off. A bunch of guys from the suburbs who were in hardcore bands looked at their failing music careers and decided to create a joke that eventually led to them playing gigantic shows across the world, putting out 6 albums, and generally enjoying a ton of success. I've never heard anything but he's a total asshole about most of their members, and the guys in that band I've met have lived up to that reputation. Pete Wentz's antics alone are enough to make me hate that band. If their general sound and aesthetic didn't do it, if they were like any other fly-by-night cash grab, that would be fine, but they've got staying power, and it's fucking infuriating. Then he writes, that and they wrote and performed and distributed Sugar We're Going Down, which might actually be the most annoying popular song of its decade. Fuck that song. Fuck. Here's what I have to say to you, Rudy.
Got a little Corona on your arms, bud.
What if we, the same guy. We should fly to Chicago and dump a case of Corona.
Pause the podcast.
Now I really want a beer.
Yeah, we should have gotten beers for this. That's true.
It's like it's not 3 p.m.
It's 4:30 now.
We should
now.
Have some beers.
We fucked up.
Here's what I got to say, Rudy.
Yes.
First of all, when you say failed music careers, you make it sound like they're grizzled 40-year-old men.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Stump was 19 when they started the band.
Rudy.
I get his frustration with like them genre hopping, but sure. I think that's like a strength.
Yeah, I think that it's not the worst thing you could do.
No.
I mean, if you find what you're good at. Like for Tommy, he started in stand-up comedy.
Oh, no.
And now he's a spoken word poet.
He's much better.
I actually heard this poem by Pete Wentz. Do you mind if I...
I agree that Sugar We're Going Down is a little annoying, but I have a nostalgic...
Sure.
I won my 8th grade talent show with 2 of my friends. Actually, my boyfriend at the time and my best friend at the time, we were playing in like a fake band.
Yeah.
We didn't know any songs like, that we had written. We just played nothing but Green Day covers.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And we played Sugar We're Going Down, won the 8th grade talent show.
Hell yeah.
There's 12 kids in my class. I'll never forget.
Damn. I won
Brain
my
Stew?
8th grade talent show by sucking my own dick in front of everybody. What if that were true? The teachers are like applauding, like slow clapping me.
Like, oh, that's why I took that rib out earlier.
That's Indiana gymnastics right there.
That's the only reason we had a tumbling program.
Oh, the, like, Indiana gymnastics rolls. Is the best euphemism for sucking your own dick I've ever heard.
Oh, man. The old solo pole vault. That was Rudy Schultz. We're going to fuck him up. I will say, I liked you. I mean, Sugar We're Going Down.
I still
loved
like it.
It.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. I get why people are annoyed with it. I got into a big arguments about this song when I was younger because people found it annoying. They thought the lyrics were stupid. They're like, I remember arguing with somebody because they were like, why would you brag about you're going down swinging? And I was like, but no, you don't understand. I'm putting up a fight even though I'm going to lose. Like, it's, you know, there's something admirable about that. And they were like, that's fucking stupid. Get the hell out of my house.
And then as you were losing the argument, you just took a swing.
Yeah. See? I'm falling backwards. yeah, this was, speaking of that old iPod video.
Ooh.
I had I had 3 music videos that I purchased for that iPod video. But one being Fix You from Coldplay,
What's in that video?
What's that?
What's the fix you video?
It's just not even that good of a video. It's really just
it's about the builder.
It's actually a surgery video.
It's actually the most boring video. It's just Chris.
That's why
Martin
I was asking.
Walking down a like an alley at
Isn't
night.
Isn't that all of their music videos?
Shut the fuck. No. What's
scientist,
this?
Him
scientist
walking.
Is one of the best. But it's no.
It's mostly him walking.
There's a car crash
after him walking,
and it's all in reverse, and they're singing in forward though.
And Fix You is just that video forward.
That would be great. No, it's. I will argue that the video for the scientist is still great because it's like
I remember liking that video.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember thinking.
Joke
it was
objection.
D.
You're gonna say that what? Forever.
I remember thinking it was so deep.
It is deep.
I had one. I had a couple Fall Out Boy videos on my iPod video.
Ooh.
I remember one though. I downloaded one and it made me so mad. A little less 16 candles, a little more touchy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a vampire epic.
The video.
Yes, and it is just a dumpster fire.
Damn.
There's no linear plot. Like it is.
Do they add time?
It's just Pete wearing vampire Pete.
I think I remember this. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an excuse for Pete to wear vampire teeth, and the production value is insane. It looks like a Showtime show.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
it looks
shit.
Like premium cable, Damn. And it's unwatchable.
That's bad. Okay, so I didn't finish my list of the three. We got to the Coldplay, and then we stopped. So Coldplay was the first one. Fall Out Boy's Sugar We're Going Down is number two.
Yep.
You guys want to take a guess at number three? It was of that same year.
Can you give us one more hint?
Scars, Papa Roach.
No, I mean, it's so you get... It's more Fix You like than
Frey How to Save a Life.
Oh,
it's
in that the was same, gonna be my guess.
It's in that element. But okay, I'll give you another hint. It's another classic band that kind of switched genre for this era.
Okay.
Oh. Green Day?
You're on the right path. In fact, I'll just tell you, it is Green Day.
Oh, well, so yeah.
So, yes, but so what was
Good
the
Riddance,
song?
Time of your life?
No. It's like in the
Wake
realm of
Fix
You.
Wake me up when
you.
September
That's
ends.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
I feel so good right now.
Wake me up.
When September
Can't wake up. 9/11 sucked. Wake me up. Damn.
Oh, man. What a whiny song.
Oh, I forgot
song.
About Evanescence.
It's not. Yeah, I know. Marsha Belsky defended Evanescence. Heard of her? Let's listen. Oh, let's go back to Facebook.
Let's just listen to Evanescence.
Yeah, fuck it.
Wake me up.
Yeah, this sucks.
When September ends.
Zach Peterson says, "What is there to like? They are a pop / boy band posing as subversive rock band. It is the faux danger injected into these bubblegum bands that really bothers me. You can be silly recording company fluff band, but don't act like you're doing anything dangerous just because you have eyeliner and ripped jeans. At the time, bands like At the Drive-In was big, and the record industry said we should make a version of that that really sucks. Here's my question. Do you really think they said that?
I think that's verbatim.
I think the industry, there was an L.A. Reid type, and he was like, what if we took At the Drive-In and made it suck? Mike Rosa says, they're great, and I will not accept such mean things. So get that.
Well, he should go on meanstars.com.
Yeah, we need to open his third eye up.
I'm gonna take this in a very deep direction.
Ooh,
here. And I'm gonna say that, you know, the faux edginess and like the eyeliner and the ripped jeans actually kind of queer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And as a kid who was not aware of their queerness, but
yes.
knew that I didn't like dressing up in like very feminine
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
It was kind of fucking
awesome
to see like
I wonder if Pete would take this good or bad.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I remember like seeing guys wearing eyeliner and thinking that was fucking awesome. And also,
it's called guyliner.
Guyliner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought it was people, like, I had never really seen that before. And it hadn't really been happening since glam metal and like this, you know, like that was something where we had had like, the 80s were so macho. Mm-hmm. Like they were so macho. And like the 90s were grunge. And then like, I feel like emo was like our glam.
Yeah.
And it allowed me as like somebody who didn't want to wear like the pink dresses my mom bought for me. I was like, no, I'm not like gay. I'm just, you know, dark. Like, you know, like I was able to like get my suburban mom to go to Hot Topic and buy me like black pants and like a Rancid shirt because it was acceptable.
Yes. Fair enough.
Because they were mainstream, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's an interesting take on it that I never thought about before. Because I just thought of them as like, I thought of it as the like pretty emo, I guess. But when I was a kid, I thought this was like cool. I thought this was like what
I
thought
I was
they
ashamed
were
of
what they
liking
were saying.
It.
You were ashamed of
it? I mean, I
it?
Loved it. Like, it would be like a thing. Like, me and like my best friend, Tim, we would like drive around like blaring it. But like, if I was like at a party, I would never put Fall Out Boy on because I'd be worried I would get like shit on mercilessly.
I didn't have cool friends in my life. So I thought this was cool. Like,
same.
I thought this
same.
Was sick. Yeah. I thought people would be like, I thought if I put this on at a party, people would be like, oh, fuck yeah. This party just got started.
I found the right hell friends when I was like, when I worked at like College Humor. Like we were at a party and like we just all got real tanked and then we started putting on like old like late 90s early 2000s like punk pop and emo bangers and like everyone lost their friggin' minds.
That's a great feeling.
People go nuts over it now because like it was such a nostalgic thing that I think we were all secretly listening to.
For sure.
Shit, we should go do karaoke right now.
We ruin someone's night. We do the song with the poem.
Living. You had it all memorized when you did it. That would be so fucking funny.
Living is just
what are you talking about?
No, I mean like if,
from
if
the video we played earlier. Yeah.
Oh, from the.
Oh, that would be.
You just go a cappella.
I meant from the song. Yeah.
Screaming, stelling is just a waste of Beth at like Cobra Club.
No, you go fuck. A beat, I'll go acapella.
He's orange.
Let's read. Jeremy Hammond wrote, did you ever see the Pete Wentz dick pic? It's a serviceable metaphor for them as a band. Half flaccid and not particularly memorable, were it not for the spooky goth tattoo on his stomach that looks like it'd be a t-shirt at Hot Topic. Also, knowing the emo pop punk genre, it was probably sent to a teenager. Well, that doesn't seem fair.
He might be right.
Jeremy.
I hope he's not right, but...
Yeah. Oh, shit!
Oh, let me see it. Let me see it.
Tommy just showed me that dick pic. I think it's this one. What's weird is he didn't Google it. It was the background on his phone.
It's... Wait, that's... What...
I think...
I like how somebody put the Canadian flag, I guess.
That's the one we'll put on the Instagram.
Somebody blocked out his dick with a maple leaf. this is great.
I don't know what's going on.
Damn.
Oh my god. Also, I don't really know what I don't really know what like dicks are
like supposed to look like.
I'm like, it's huge. I don't know. Like I've seen a few, but like not enough to like be a connoisseur. I don't know.
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you, women don't like huge penises. They're too big to have sex with.
There's a we referenced this book from the 50s.
It's actually a myth that women enjoy a giant penis.
Oh wait, we should do a quiz.
Yes,
there's nothing else good.
Let's jump into the song.
So Sam, you're gonna take this quiz. I'm gonna conduct it.
Yeah.
It is called "Which Fall Out Boy Album Are You?" Now, before you take it, I want a guess of what you think this quiz will have you as.
Okay.
So what is your guess?
I think it's going to put me at Infinity on High.
I was about to guess that too, but I'm going to
interesting. I thought
I'm going to switch to Take This to Your Grave.
Okay.
I think we'll get.
Yeah. Well, I'll go something different, so I'll go Cork Tree, just so someone wins.
Also, I like that the album's acronym is Fucked.
Oh.
Oh my god. I did not know that until right now.
Yeah.
God damn it.
F-U-C-T.
Fuck me. Wait. No, wait. Huh? That's That's not right, is it?
Well, if you take the out.
You gotta take the out, okay.
But I feel like that's really common in acronyms when you take out, like, the articles.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's what I do with Playboy. Okay.
I take all of them.
All right.
And jerk off to them.
Exactly. They frame it on my wall, yeah. Okay, what is most important in life? Here are your options. Family, keeping yourself busy, connecting with the fans, making money, doing what you love, being as punk as possible.
This is ridiculous.
This is really just for the band. It sounds like
doing what you love.
Doing what you love. Okay. Interesting.
Sorry, family.
All right. On a Sunday afternoon, you're most likely asleep at the mall, Roy Moore, having delusions of grandeur, resting on your laurels. You know, it's a Sunday.
Yeah,
Online shopping.
Is that
shopping.
Not the same as laying around?
Yeah. Online shopping or meticulously planning your upcoming week.
I like how my only options are either to be a consumer or doing nothing.
Yeah.
I'm probably laying around doing nothing.
So...
The first one. I'm not fancy. Listen, I'm a simple guy.
So
I'm not
asleep.
Resting on my laurels. Yes.
Okay. You've rested.
I've never rested on any laurels. I don't sit on flowers.
Okay.
Sometimes I feel like we're the comedy duo Laurel and Hardy, and I'm Laurel, and you're always rested on your laurels.
Oh, my God. All right, it's Patrick Stump. I saw Laurel.
Joke objection.
Joke objection.
I saw a Laurel and Hardy movie in theaters last year.
Is that right?
It was incredible. It was cool. They had a guy playing the organ live. It was a very cool experience.
So cool.
It was really cool.
Where was that, Syndicate?
It was in L.A. at some place.
Of course it was.
Yeah, it was very,
all
very
good
trendy.
Stuff in LA.
Okay, is Patrick Stump the most attractive member? A
yes!
Fall Out Boy. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
I did think so. Still,
right.
Even as a current modern day lesbian.
Okay.
Yeah, Patrick.
Choose an emoji. Now your options. Poop. Fire. Princess.
Pete wins his dick.
Sad man. Monkey with hands on heads.
Sad man.
Sad man.
That's sad man.
Could be a woman.
No, he's not that sad.
And
he's
dancing.
Like exasperated.
Exasperated man and lady in the red dress. What
I
do
like
you
exasperated man. No. You know what? I'm going to be lady in dress.
All right.
Oh, damn. I
lady
think it's
in red.
Be poetry now.
Chicago is so where Pete once grew up, a part of the never ending capitalist machine. Fuck off. Indicative of the American melting pot in Illinois. Windy 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
What a song.
That's
a good
great
song.
There's a light on.
In Chicago. But the only thing is, like, that's a perfect example of one of their songs where, like, I really love the song. I especially love songs that make me, like, long for a place I have
never
been.
Oh,
which I had
good.
Never been to Chicago as, a 13-year-old kid. And I used to just think Chicago was so cool because of Fall Out Boy. And then that's another song where, like, this, like, pretty good song just devolves into, like, I wish your body was broken. You're a dumb slut. Like, it just happens with so many of their songs.
Okay, pick a band to tour with Fall Out Boy. Reliant K, misspelled by them. My Chemical Romance. One Direction. The Vamps. The 1975. And Panic at the
I
Disco.
I think that's how Reliant K spells Reliant K.
That is how they
is
spell
it?
It? Yeah. I've actually...
So
I've
they spell it wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
On
okay.
purpose. I've seen them with My Chemical Romance at Warped Tour. And I think that Reliant K was there too. I have like a real soft spot for Reliant K. I'm going to go with them.
Interesting. Oh, but they're Christian, right?
Yeah. I was as a kid.
Interesting. Yeah.
This what is a devil podcast.
It's a devil podcast. No, I mean, I guess I'm still Catholic, like culturally, and I think I believe in
I
God.
I am too.
But, yeah.
What is the most important element of a Fall Out Boy song? The chorus? The elaborate vocal runs? The
Pete.
Message?
Who wrote
the
this,
screamo
Pete?
Part? The drums? The production?
At this point, like, this is a hard question to answer because I feel like it's different at historical parts. Mm-hmm. But at this point, like with American Beauty, American Psycho, their newest album, I would say the production.
It definitely is not the message. That's what I'll say.
Oh, it's not the message.
That is the one we can eliminate. All right, the production. Where were you during prom? Getting drunk with your friends? Contemplating your life on a balcony somewhere? With your family? On the dance floor? At home? Or in the limo? Mackin' on your date?
Damn, Tommy Mackin'. Mm.
Fuck me.
I was getting
oh god.
I was getting drunk Jesus. With my friends.
Hell yeah.
What? They don't have the cool option of watching Harry Potter movies.
Okay, this is a weird question. You sleep with someone in Fall Out Boy. What do you receive in return? This question is based off
of... this is a song title.
I know, but it's still a twisted...
It's not good. Yeah.
A USB stick of unreleased music, a song written about you, a marriage proposal, a post-it note on your pillowcase, a complicated relationship, nothing.
Oh, damn.
Please, nothing.
Damn.
Pick a Pete.
Pete.
So we've got a blonde Pete, we've got Chris Angel looking Pete, we got Tim McLaughlin looking Pete.
Give me original
Petey
Pete.
Pants.
Give me like take this to your grave, Pete.
I think we're calculating results.
Damn, I'm so curious.
I'm so scared.
This is a big moment. You'd think it would calculate quicker. Take this to your grave, which was your guess.
Hell yeah, got him. Got him.
You got me.
Now, what do you want in return?
Nothing.
Okay, right. Congratulations. You're take this to your grave. You're an oldie, but a goodie. You've got classic one-liners and that teenage angst thing working for you. You're going places, kid.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. All right. That was fucked up. I'm glad we did it.
I'm glad we did it as well.
That definitely was a Pete Wentz friendly quiz.
Yeah, he wrote that quiz. I'm not kidding. It was written like a while, not too long ago, but I feel like BuzzFeed still allowed user submissions.
Okay, so I guess that when the dick pic leaked, Pete Wentz, I just found this. It's
leaked.
Yeah.
In quotes.
It says, "It's been a tough couple of weeks for me lately," he wrote. "The only good thing about times of adversity is that you realize who your real friends and fans are, and the rest go away."
Oh, wow.
It's about his dick pic. Like, who cares?
Why are people going away just because they saw your dick?
This happened at the Knitting Factory. He fell off stage and there was a picture.
He fell off
stage. Oh, that was part of the. It was a trifecta of bad things that happened to him. He tried to do like a stage dive thing, and the crowd let him fall on the concrete.
Oh,
I guess
that's sad.
Oh, that's a hard floor.
I don't know if that it was on purpose or what. It says it was from the club's balcony into the crowd below. And
there's a balcony.
I don't know where it's at.
I don't think there's a balcony at Knitting Factory.
But it
maybe
says
it's
it was at
knit.
Knitting Factory.
Well, Knitting Factory used to be Manhattan back in the day.
Oh yeah,
there's a Lower East Side Knitting Factory.
I think that's the one that it was, because this is 2006.
In the mid 2000s, late 2000s.
Yeah, so
not
yeah,
our
that was
Knitting Factory.
No.
And then it says that Hannibal outed him as a sex.
Hannibal was like, "Google Pete Wentz. Go home. Google Pete Wentz."
All right, let's listen to some Fall Out Boy, and let's get the hell out of here. All right, so we already listened to Thriller. Let's hear Grenade Jumper from the Sam Ruddy of albums, Take This to Your Grave.
Oh, yeah.
You should just edit a bit. It'll sound better. Also, I'm talking right now into my microphone.
Song.
Yeah, I really like that song because I like songs about friendship a lot, mm-hmm. and I don't think there's enough of them.
Yeah.
And I really liked, like, because that was kind of a volatile album. Like, a uh-huh. lot of it's just like a lot of it's very angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really sweet song to like whoever their friend Chris is. Just I never looked up the meaning, but I always imagined like they were kind of shitty to their friend, and then they were like, yeah. "Oh, we were kind of shitty to Chris."
Apparently, it's a woman they held down and beat.
Oh no!
It's about Chris Brown.
It's actually a stalker song. Chris, we love you back. Why don't you love us back?
Yeah, please love us. I'm gonna look up the song facts real fast. Just to see if it does give us anything.
That whole album, it's just there's no misses on it for me. I was just drive around my hometown.
Oh yeah, I could scream every song.
Drive by the borders.
Where it all started.
The title of the song refers to a person who is such a good friend they would jump on a grenade for you. It is aimed towards the band's friend Chris Gutierrez. He's the Chris in the lyrics.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
This is so overwritten.
Gutierrez was in the band Arma Angelus with Fall Out Boy bassist P. Wentz. Because of the song, Chris is now known to fans as Hey Chris. Ugh. He has his own website, AskHeyChris.com.
It is the most popular website in the world.
Very popular. It has over 2,000 hits a month.
I like this. There's comments on this one, which there usually aren't comments on these. It says, Pete and Chris are fighting. They are not friends anymore.
Oh, no!
It is sad. I love this song. I can relate to how they feel about their friend. Pete and Chris will tough it out and still be friends if they are fighting. And Patrick Stump is hot. That's Jimmy in Farmington, New Mexico.
I'm going to ask Hey Chris really quick just to see.
Yeah, we have to know what it is.
It's a live journal. Of course.
Of course.
Oh, it looks like it might be. I don't think that this is still a thing. Or would I have to have a live journal to?
I don't know. I've never used live journal. I like this comment,
though. It's pretty much just like a.
He's selling vegan friendly, like. What is he doing?
With your vegan meats.
He's selling buttons? What is he selling? Shit.
Let's look at the profile memories. Yeah, I don't know. None of, it's not loading
sucks.
Very well.
Yeah,
this
shit will load.
This
it's like a sucks. GeoCities site from 2008.
I don't think he's paying for the square space that he should be. This is my favorite comment on here so far. It says, I heard this song somewhere, but I forget where. Well, anyway, this is a great song. I think Fall Out Boy rock and are much better than Simple Plan or Good Charlotte.
Oh, that's a real time capsule of a comment.
That's so good. I heard this song somewhere, but I forget where. Well, anyway. All right. This is, I'm gonna say this is arguably their best song. Grand Theft Autumn / Where Is Your Boy?
Ooh.
Where is your boy tonight? I hope he is a gentleman. Maybe he won't find out what I know. You were the last good thing about this part of town.
That's what... Yeah.
This fun.
So with this song, I think
you just stopped at the chorus.
Oh yeah, that's true. I kind of like the blue balls. I think it speaks to their type of music. This is the sort of thing they'd complain
about.
The blue
balls of music.
If you look closely at that picture. So catchy, so fun.
Oh, baby, so catchy.
That's what people said when I left Chicago. I was the last good thing. I like that song a lot. It's not my favorite song, but I know that that's a lot of people's favorite.
I included
Fall Out Boy
song. It because I know it's a lot of people's favorite. Mm-hmm. It's really indicative of a lot of their music from Take This to Your Grave.
Yeah.
And also, it's the first song I ever heard by them.
Yeah, this is the first one outside of Corkscrew that I heard, because I remember hearing that and being like, oh, shit, I'm going to like all of this. Mm-hmm. And then I did like a lot of that other album, too.
Yeah.
I remember I was in a phase where I was really into the Saves the Day album through Being Cool.
Yeah, that came after for me.
And then, well, then I found this and I was like, oh, this is like the same thing, but they're also talking about Chicago. like, so it was like the coolest thing in the world.
Where is Saves the Day from? I thought they're from Chicago. Oh, they're New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. You were saying like this one's still minimally, or it's still got elements of like the problems of a lot of their music, or like the angst.
I think women, way less. Yeah, I don't think so.
This one, I think is fair. I think this is like it's like a guy wants a lady. That's it.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's definitely like a nice guy song, but it's. I don't think it's like inherently like misogynistic or anything like a lot of their other music is.
Sure, sure.
And it's just a fun sing along.
It's very good. Yeah, yeah. I just love the beginning of that. I think that I have a real soft spot for songs that come in lyrics only.
Me too.
I love that.
I've noticed that about a lot of the music I like is there's like a vamping intro. Where like it starts with like just a cappella and then like a heavy drop of like the bass and like guitar and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm into it. Macman, any thoughts?
Sure.
Really quickly, I want to see if I can find, because we're almost done here, but I want to see if I can find Grand Theft Auto fun facts. I feel like I should have looked up the song facts earlier for them, because these are good. I think that a lot of Fall Out Boy fans have a lot of internet thoughts.
Yeah,
that one is fun. And it's like, that one's not as obnoxious of a song title either as a lot of them. Grand Theft Auto is, I mean, they do the slash, which is a little annoying. This song is about a boy who is in love with a girl, but this girl is with someone else. He is trying to convince her that he's better than her boyfriend, telling her that he isn't always there for her, and she hates the boyfriend more than she notices. But the boy also realizes in the song he isn't making a big enough commitment to win her over. Someday I'll appreciate and value, get off my ass and call you. Oh, shit. There's a lot of comments on all of these now. This song is amazing. I love the song, even though this is one of the old songs. I hadn't heard it until after I heard the new Fall Out Boy. And although I do love Fall Out Boy now, I think this is Take This to Your Grave probably had their best songs on it. And it really explains my life right now.
Oh. Wow.
Oh,
shit.
Who is S. Ruddy 13?
Well, I honestly, like, I didn't know I was gay when I was a kid, but I was starting to realize it when I was like 18.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's when I realized it. And like, I remember hearing that song and like thinking about straight women I had crushes on who were with boys.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Where's your boy?
Yeah, I was a little bit of a fuck boy.
Wow. Yeah. Damn. A young Tommy McNamara.
Oh.
Oh. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Let's see. Oh my god. Let's see if there's any. This is a tribute to all the slackers who love a girl and that girl doesn't share the same feeling. Thanks, FOB. Oh, Dalton from Chesterfield has to say, anyone who doesn't like this song is a friggin' idiot.
Oh, damn.
Damn.
This is us. This is 7 minutes in heaven. Banger.
I love doo-wop shit. Like, I listen to 1950s music a lot. Like, so I love that, like, da-da-da-da-da.
What a song. I like that one a lot. That's like, for me, that's like the prime Fall Out Boy. Like, that's them doing exactly what I like them doing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole album, I still like that album more than the first one, which
okay.
I know. I'm a big music fucking idiot to you people who listen to this fucking show. People who listen to the show have been quoted as saying that I have the taste of music of a mom, which I don't understand. But get fucked. I'm sick as hell.
It's definitely, cleaner and, like, not in terms of, like, content, but, like, it's definitely slicker.
Here's what I like out of my boys. I want them to be singing about picking up ladies and not being mean, being gentlemen, and, you know, like, from time to time having a little angst. But not, you know, taking care of themselves, drinking a lot of water.
You would love this song. Have you ever heard this? God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. You'd love that.
Hell yeah. That's right up my alley.
That's right in your wheelhouse. Right. Yeah. Now this is a good song.
Hey, Christ, I heard you were looking for a new sound. Listen to this.
But that's like, you could tell how much they're playing. They know their audience so well. Like, literally mentioning dances. It's like.
Oh
yeah.
Well, this is when I was listening to them.
Oh,
exactly.
Me too. I was in high school. I was like,
you feel like 100%. Like that was such a weird era where it was like 25-year-old men just completely pandering to 16-year-olds.
That's the boy band weird, aspect for sure.
Yeah. It was like they're like boy bands, but for teen boys.
Yeah.
What's the fucking song that's like the therapist song where he's like, "We'll be your therapist."
Probably not a smart message to send out.
No, it's not. That's the one song where I listen back to it and I fucking cringe.
Don't call the suicide hotline. Tweet at us instead.
Write our manager.
Come to our concert. Yeah. Buy our t-shirts.
Spend your meds money on t-shirts.
Cover up your slit wrist with our t-shirts. It'll stop the bleeding. I want to find the name of that song. It's like, we're the chemists who found the formula to make your hearts swell and burst. We're real red.
No matter what they say, don't believe a word. Yeah, what song is that?
Oh, I actually do like that.
It's Are We Going Up.
Yeah. Are We Going Up?
Keep singing this song
if you'll keep believing it. 6 out of 6. No, it's not on the playlist because you fucked up. No, now I like that song again.
No, now I'm like, actually, that was a banger.
All right, let's listen to I'm a Lawyer. I'm like a lawyer with the way I try to get you. So that song I remember is when I started getting pissed off listening to them, because it was like, that sounds like it would be right up my alley based on what I've described liking. But that if I woke up next to you, I was like, fuck that. That's not you. That's not mean or angsty. Talk about choking her or something. There was something about that was missing for me where I was like, it felt like they were trying to appeal. And I remember they played that live when I saw them and I was like, fuck this. I just felt like I was in a sea of like 14-year-olds or something, and I was like, I was 19.
Isn't that your fantasy?
What?
Roy Moore here.
Oh, is that right? Look, we have stated on this podcast before, we want a recount on Roy Moore.
Listen, we think he was treated unfairly.
We think the South will rise again.
If you're not going to recount, let him back at that mall.
Let him at the mall. What's he hurting?
Let him go to Sears. He needs a lawnmower.
He wants to hang out at Claire's. Come on.
He for sure wants to hang out at Claire's.
All right. Yeah. But you know what? Listening to it now, I get why I didn't like it then. It's pleasant, though. It's fun. I think it's a good song to put on here because it's very indicative of the genre not quite changing, but the
it
start
is.
Of it.
It's a shift.
Yeah.
It's when they realize that, like, oh, our fans are girls, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, like, if we, like, are like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, being with you be amazing, like, they'd probably be into it, you know?
Yep, yep.
And they stopped just playing power chords and started, like, doing more interesting things.
That was
musically.
The thing about Infinity on High. And like, I think there's a lot of really good guitar solos in, like, some of their earlier stuff, but, like, Infinity on High was, like, it wasn't just five chords.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's hear Uma Thurman and...
Ugh. Such peak Fall Out Boy. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, bury me till I confess. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, and I can't get you out of my head. The stash, the stench of summer sex. You gotta check this up.
Yeah, I can't do this one. It's so bad.
Yeah, this one I don't like.
It really sucks.
I disagree. I disagree. The Kill Bill riff is awesome. I will say the best part of that song is something they did not make.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I'm looking for... I'm trying to find parts of this song that I like. Yeah. Yeah, that was them... Like, the fact that they even had a song called Uma Thurman, I remember being like, fuck this. I don't know why it made me annoyed. I think it was like they went... I liked when they were like, we have song titles that are supposed to be jokes or whatever. Like, I liked them then for that, and now I think that's annoying, but I also... That's still what I liked about them.
It was originally called Strom Thurmond. Then they changed it to make it more popular.
And that's why I jumped off board.
Yeah.
But so why that song? You just like that?
I think I wanted to pick songs that I thought were like indicative of different points and like I doubled up on a couple.
Yeah.
But
I think you did a good job of doing
You told a story.
I wanted to tell a story. I really thank you, Tommy. I am so flattered that you appreciated and noticed. I like that song because it's super catchy. I love the Kill Bill riff.
Yeah.
And I think it's a perfect example of like kind of what they're doing now. Like I really like the album American Beauty, American Psycho. I also think 4th of July is probably the best song on it. I should have put that instead of Uma Thurman, but I love the riff so much. But I think like that's like a really good example of like the stuff that, like that's being played in video games and like on like
I mean
TV.
Any NHL game.
Yeah, the NHL. Like that's like kind of what they're doing now, and I think that's like one of the better ones.
Mm.
Oh, here's a fun fact. Fall Out Boy performed this song on Late Night with Seth Meyers. Which is where former guests of the show did a late night spot, Kenny DeForest.
Oh. So
is that what it says online?
Yeah.
That's actually on the
where
Wikipedia.
Where he spent his set defending Macklemore.
I wanted to defend Macklemore, then I saw that Kenny had done it.
Asked by Billboard magazine what came first, the music or the lyrical concept, Pete Wentz replied, "We had the tracks done, but people kept saying, 'Oh, Pulp Fiction.' So we were like, 'Why don't we write something in the Quentin Tarantino world?' Then the Uma idea came up. We reached out to her. I don't know how she feels about the song, but she's okay with us naming it Uma Thurman."
Wait, that is the Kill Bill theme, right?
Yeah.
It'd be funny if there was like the same thing.
When they said Pulp Fiction, I just second guessed myself. I was like, oh no.
The same thing that happened with the Taylor Swift, Kanye, Kim thing happens. You know what I mean? Where she puts up a video of like a phone call between them. Like,
yeah. And then they're like, I still think we could fuck Uma Thurman.
Yeah. We made that bitch famous. That... What are you talking about, Tom? We've never met.
Talk that talk, Pete. all right. Well, that's the playlist. Tommy, what do you think? What do you think?
So, as I stated, I love this band. I will always be biased from them. They're a very certain time in my life. Like maybe seventh grade to high school, where they meant a lot to me. So anything that falls in that Tommy years is getting a solid point, which brings me to a 5 out of 6 because I don't like Uma Thurman. But
interesting,
because okay. It is the year of generosity.
Oh, okay.
5.1 out of 6.
Oh,
I will be adding 0.1 to every score this year.
That's interesting.
Are you
going
retroactively?
Oh, heavens no.
Well,
that's from 2017, the year of selfishness.
As Star Wars taught us, there must always be balance in the Force. Because of Tommy's generosity, I will now be taking 0.1
no!
away from
this whole year.
You're a real Kylo Ren.
Oh, Tommy, it's Kylo Ren.
Tommy, let's disregard the history of this podcast and start our own new thing.
You're no Vader. Just a child in a mask.
Oh, shit.
Pretty good, Snoke.
Thank you.
I find out whether things are true or false about Star Wars on Snokes.com. Get fucked. I'm getting a 4.9. No, actually, I think I'm going to go. My only thing is... I'm a little torn on. I'm like a lawyer because, like I said, I don't love that song. I'm gonna go 4.7.
Wow,
is what I'm gonna say because I do love the rest of it, and I'm giving them a slight bump because it is my year of generosity.
Wait, no, no. Premise objection.
Yeah, 4.7. I have a special place in my heart for this band. I really love their first two albums a lot. I think the third album is flawed, but I still enjoy it, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Sam, what do you give it?
What
okay,
is your
well,
rating
it is
the playlist?
My year of generosity.
Oh no!
So I picked those 6 songs. I'm gonna give it a 7.
Damn, that is very
interesting. Actually, you guys actually made me backtrack on Uma Thurman.
Interesting.
I will say, you guys, I was like, oh shit, the smell of Somerset. Maybe not great. but I like the music. And
yeah.
That's my issue with any Fall Out Boy song. It's never the music that's the issue for me.
Uh-huh.
It's always Pete Wentz throwing in something weird.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as we've learned on this podcast time and time again, music is objective, and we're giving we're staying by this. So, thanks for coming on, Sam. This has been a fun one. Where can people find you at?
Oh,
we should
I'm
wrap
on,
this bad boy up.
I'm on Twitter at Samly Matters.
Okay.
SamlyMatters.
Awesome.
And also, I just released an album.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy's on that album, I believe.
Ooh.
Tommy is on the keyboard on that album. He was the best co-host you could ever ask for.
Yeah. You're me saying Sam's name.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
It was a fun album. It's a holiday album, so, you know, we're a little late to the party. But, you know, if you want to go check it out, it's called the Comedy Holiday Album. It's a compilation album that's all different comics doing jokes about, like, Christmas and Hanukkah and whatnot.
Perfect. And it's good if you don't want to listen to it now, save it for July, for Hanukkah in July.
Hanukkah in July, or do Hanukkah next December, you know, just
there
check
you go.
It out.
Tommy and I have our Caroline show, Stand By Your Band Live, January 25th. Is that right?
Yes.
9:30 p.m., baby.
Dentist favorite time.
That's right.
9:30.
Yeah, and then, check my website for other dates if you want, TommyMcNamara.com or Snokes.com if you want Star Wars facts.
I'm going to be getting a new website, I think. I will be in Tampa the 12th through the 15th, or the 14th with Nikki Glaser, and the 19th through the 21st, I will be in at the, I believe, Addison Improv in Dallas. So come out to those. We like to end the show by saying, keep it crispy, Sam. Oh, by the way, if you're if you want some bonus episodes of the show, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/standbyyourband. We put a new girls' night up there, and we put bonus episodes with Muse, and what is the other one that we just did? Aerosmith, and there's some more shit on there, so check that out. And on the count of three, we'll say, keep it crispy. One, two, three.
Keep it crispy.
Domestic violence is wrong. Bye. Stand by.